In metaphysical realms, Carolyn and Jay converse in mystic, ethereal ballet. Ideas and stories, hopes and dreams they share, with intuition as their guiding cosmic flair. In morning's embrace, their dialogues unfurl, metaphysical whispers, a new day's pearl. In these whispered tones, they contemplate the night, where truth and wonder take their graceful flight. For in their words, a resonance may swell, as conversation's magic casts its spell. Welcome to Carolyn and Jay's Metaphysical Conversations. Good morning. It is January 22nd, 2024, and we are finally back on Radio 12, after a little bit of a break. We are Carolyn and Jay here with Metaphysical Conversations, and it's good to be back, and I hope everyone's had a little bit of good happenings over the last couple of months, or it feels like a couple of, I guess it's only been around, a month, but, but I feel like whole lifetimes have happened in between the time that we last talked with you guys. So hi to Jay. Jay's here with us.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, and you've been gone too.
Yes, and I second that whole thing that you just said about it feeling like a time warp, and like more time than a month has gone by.
It's been more than a month? Yeah.
I think right around a month. Right around a month.
Yeah. And so you've been traveling also.
I have. I was in Washington visiting my family and catching up. I think I'm still waking up, but having time with my mom, my sister, my brother-in-law, my partner Alan got to go with us, and or with me anyways, and to accompany me. And it was a great way to check in on my mom. She's going through some health stuff, and she was going further into testing to figure out like exactly what's going on, because what it appeared to be on the surface is not what it is. And I don't want to get into too much detail about my mom's health stuff specifically, but just to simply say they thought she had a stroke and she didn't, and so we're really grateful for that. But it still is sort of a clue murder mystery without the murder to figure out what is going on and to track down what happened, because she did experience half of her body going numb, and that is normally stroke related. And so that's where she is and in her journey with her body and her health, and also this sort of ongoing thing where things are not back to where they were, but they're not exactly where they are going to end up, and how scary of a position that can be, as well as why I feel like family is so important, and why it's important for us to have our communities for times like this so we can get together. So that's what my month away was about, even though I wasn't in Washington the whole month, because we were already planning on having a break here at 1-2. This was just something that for me happened on top of that. And so thanks for asking.
That's Carolyn, good.
So I know
good
you're good helping out, dear 1-2. How is that going for you?
I took off for Canada at the beginning of December, and I was only going to stay for a couple of weeks. And when I got there, I went to visit these friends who I've known for about 35 years. I was quite young when I met them, and we were all friends with Timothy Leary. And I get there, and I was supposed to stay with the wife because she's older, and she needed to get some doctor appointments. She can't see very well, and macular degeneration. Mm-hmm. And So her husband was going to fly to New York. And so as soon as I got there, he flew out the next day. And so she and I were like, catching up and having some wine, and we get a call, and he has was not paying attention. He wasn't quite, he hadn't collected himself, and he was visiting his sister who was, deteriorating, and he hadn't quite collected himself and went to plug in his cell phone and fell over his suitcase and broke his hip.
Oh my
So
gosh.
it was a shocker, and his wife and I were like, having some wine, and so it was really hard to collect ourselves because it was a totally unexpected situation. And so he now was going to be having surgery, and with surgery, when you break a hip, you can't fly for a month because blood clot can kill you, right? And
Huh?
the thing that can happen if you're flying. So he had his birthday on his birthday went into surgery for the hip surgery, and he was 85, and goes into surgery on his birthday, and he did well, and he had lots of visitors because he was kind of he had flown back to his area where he was born, and so he had lots of visitors, and then he had to go into rehab to learn how to walk again. And but the day after his surgery, he climbed three stairs. And so it was hopeful, but still, his I was, shifting because now I was actually given a room where I could still do my readings. But his wife was like, we had to hit a lot of doctor appointments, pulmonary, eye. It was just a list. And ones we didn't even know about until we got to another one, it's like, oh, I'd like to do this kind of test. So then we'd be driving to the next test. And so, but she and I laughed a lot. We just really had a good time, even though there were so many situations where we had to like, cover her for her next appointment. But I had a really good time. And then he finally made it home. I think it was around. He came early, January 8th, I think it was, is when he flew back in, and so we got used to. And by this point, too, I had changed my whole schedule. I was like running to the store because everything was local, I didn't drive. I think I drove maybe twice, and pretty much for she and I had to go to a happy hour at a local bar, right? But other than that, I walked everywhere. I had to go and get groceries. I had to, which was probably about a mile away, and so I really and I got to walk up around the water, beautiful little scene of walking, and just I just don't know that I've had that much time outside in a long time, but I would run and get, her needs, every day. One day, okay, just to give you an idea, I have an Apple Watch, and one day I had 12,500 steps and 49 flights of stairs.
Wow, that's
Yeah.
intense. No, you were all over the
I
place
was
and
moved. So it was really it was intense, but we even got visitors from. They used to live in a commune years ago, and so we had visitors from this other couple that I know. I knew her. I never knew her new husband, but it was really fun, and also disturbing. In parts, we're just trying to figure out how he was going to be doing. But he was, I mean, I helped him walk down to the, it was. Snowing, and he loves snow, so I walked him down to the water as soon as he got back, and he was doing really well, and he would be up having breakfast in the mornings without his cane or his walker. I mean, for God's sakes, it's only been a month and he's 85, so it was pretty amazing, how he really was coming back around.
I'm excited that you were there to help out your friends, and I can only imagine how much they appreciate you because just going through that on your own. They could have done it, but at the same time, as you know, with all the heavy lifting you did, how much you were able to shoulder the burden for your friends and be there to help out. So
you learn so much too, though, Jay, because I was like, you know, you think, geez, this could be me in, you know, another 20 years, right? And so you look at how he's done and you compare yourself, you know, or look at how she's doing with all of her doctor. And so it's like, then all of a sudden you want to like grasp at anything you can do to make yourself stronger. I swear. I mean, so helping other people can very much help yourself because you adjust. You adjust to what you see that you want, and you adjust to see what you don't want.
True. No, and I do the same thing too when I'm working with people. It's also a huge learning lesson for me for the things that I may have to take care of, you know, for my own life that I haven't been paying attention to or totally unaware that I need to be working on. And so sometimes it can be like a pre, not a warning, but I would say like a, this is great for you to know about kind of a thing. And I really appreciate that part because even though I might not always be able to work on what I might have learned or the wisdom that I gained right in that moment, but I'm still gaining the wisdom and I can apply it later. And I think that that's one of the things that we get back from helping out. Like it's a mutual, like a mutually beneficial kind of thing, like a win-win. And I think that's part of the win-win that happens. And I know I don't do it for that reason. I know you aren't doing it for that reason, but I do see that it happens. And there is a transfer of knowledge and wisdom and information. And
whenever you're taking off, your routine, you have to open your eyes to like, okay, what am I getting now? Because this is amazing. When I'm hearing myself, you know, adjust to, and also to what I'm learning around it. So yeah. And again, I mean, also too, I had a great time with the same cab driver both ways, you know, to the airport, and you know, just really cool learning about his, you know, adventures. And he was from Africa, and he had become a citizen of Canada about 20 years ago. And what he goes through with his daily routine, and his wife works in a hospital and has to change the sheets and everything, you know. And so I got to hear about his family and everything, and then I got to hear about how his Christmas went. It's just the little, you know, any kind of connection you can get with people, you know, you can like raise your energy so much, because it was so interesting listening to him and learning, you know, what all those numbers meant for the, instead of, you know, per gallon, it's per liter to buy gas. Yeah. So it was like six different numbers, you know, for a liter thing. And I was like, what, how much is this? You know, it's like 1,687,253,455, right? Anyway, it turns out that you just drop off the last two numbers, or sometimes only one number, and put a decimal at the first. So that would be like $1.68 times four is the per gallon price. It was over $6.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It was a lot, yeah. But
I was dealing with 20, we were between like 15 degrees and 25 degrees in Washington, and I was across the water from Seattle, near a town called Gig Harbor, and so we were by the water as well, and yep. But it was very chilly. We got a teeny bit of snow, but not much. But how were you? You were in Canada.
It got down to 11 degrees. I can't remember what the other word is, what 11 degrees Fahrenheit it got down to. And it was one day, I think it was 8 inches. Michael, since he loves snow, actually went outside to measure the snow on the deck. Mm. And I offered to do it for him. He goes, no. So he wanted to do it himself. He wanted to be with that snow with his little measuring stick. So it was 8 inches. We got 8 inches. And so it was cold, but you know what? It also felt like it was even warmer when it was snowing. Now, I don't know whether does the snow hold in some sort of like it was supposed to be colder, even though it was snowing. But I never really wore a coat. I just wore a really thick wool sweater every time I'd go out walking. So it was fine. I was fine. And I even walked in the rain. Oh my God, Jay, it was so much fun walking in the rain. I would let my hair get wet and it was just, looked at everybody bundled up, in these absolutely absurd outfits with, hats and, umbrellas and galoshes. And I was just walking with my hair, exposed to the elements, and it was just so much fun.
Well, I'm glad you made the most of being in that kind of situation because I think it can be fun. And like yesterday, it's raining here in California, and now that I'm back in California temperatures, I took a rain and or took a rain. I took a walk in the rain as well, and it is a lot of fun. Like I had my umbrella, but I was able to, not be too bundled up, and it is something to be in that. Just where you get a little wetness and you can feel your feet get a little bit wet, and my legs were getting a little bit wet. But I was dry and I was warm, and like you, I was just having a really good time being out in the rain and noticing like there's a small fraction of people that do it too, that are also either walking or, actively being in the rain, not just running to their car. And it's fun to see that there are a few people in the world that aren't afraid to get wet and even don't mind it, just aren't afraid to be in it, want to be in it even, and taking advantage of that because it's fresh air. When you get into studying elementals, for those of you that study the elementals like water, and really get into the like the feeling those energies, it's a real like live lesson activity to go outside while that's happening. And vibe and feel into the water element, for example, and just see what other sensitivities or intuitive hits you feel in that environment that may
You
be
know,
different
Dave,
from just dry air. Yeah.
never thought of that with really tuning in on the water element. That's a good idea because probably I was going through so many emotional swift changes, and being with that water, that's a really interesting thought there, Jay. It
So,
because it, you really got to kind of it really helped balance my mood, the water, the rain, the snow.
it helps me a lot. I mean, for me, if I am not traveling, I'll go drive to the beach, which is about like a 25-minute drive for me and no traffic, to get to the ocean and to be able to have that interchange. Because sometimes, I don't know about you, but being an empath, like we feel such emotions of other people, not even just our own, which could be a lot. But that sometimes it's like we got to put it somewhere.
Or let it be able to let it rise out of
Right, right.
and rather than stuffing it down. And maybe we could talk a little bit about, tools we can use to help kind of uplift our energy if we're going through some sort of stressful change or a situation where our regular routine is taken down. And that's going back to our roots, the crystals. What do you think? Are there some crystals we could talk about? Maybe about using crystals and why are crystals used?
I would love that, and because I use them to myself, and I find a lot of help, and it's subtle. Like at least for me, when I use crystals, it is definitely happening, but it's like happening in what I call like the background energies. It's happening in like the like just outside or just on the other side of like what would be. I don't want to. I'm trying to think of like a good analogy here. Where like if you eat an ice cream and you're holding an ice cream cone and you can taste the sweetness when you lick it. Well, when you have a stone or crystal, you can't eat it, but in essence that you can still get the vibe or feeling of what it is. So like in the same way you can hold an ice cream cone and tune in to the sweetness without eating it, especially for those of you that have had an ice cream cone before. similar in the sense of like when you're holding a amethyst crystal or a rose quartz, it's being able to tune into those subtle frequencies that are there, that are like emanating always. Like the stones, that's what's amazing about them from my perspective. They're always emanating their vibration. Like they're just doing it.
Peak vibration, and it can align with our with it and give us a positive influence with our own energy fields. That's one of the reasons that crystals are used way back to the beginning of time, you know.
And it helps if we're in a rut, like if you're like really having a hard time being in a more depressed state because of what's happening and having trouble lifting yourself out of it. Also, they could be really helpful in helping you tune into another frequency and or emotional state.
Well, for instance, say you're feeling a little discouraged with love, or you're feeling kind of having some problem with self-acceptance, and maybe you'd use a rose quartz, right? And I used to always look at the color of it, and pink is a rose quartz, right? And that's a little of red with white. So, okay, that would be like the seventh chakra, really, which is a connection to God, Goddess, all that is. And then also to the red, which is the red, which is, I always thought was, it is the first chakra. But rose quartz is supposed to be known for love and compassion. But self-acceptance though would also have to be wanting to be here. It's really being grounded. So that's, I guess, where they get the red, where the description of a rose quartz comes out to be instead of the heart chakra, instead of the heart chakra, which is what color? It's green. So you have to look at self-acceptance as, I feel like it's pink because it has to do with self-acceptance, which is grounded stuff. It's feeling like you really want, you're in your body, you're accepting your body, you're feeling like you can grow where you are, plant yourself where you are. So rose quartz encourages love and compassion and self-acceptance. So that's one of the quartz you can use, rose quartz you can use to kind of help your balance of love and self-acceptance. What other amethyst you mentioned?
Amethyst, I do. It's one of my favorites. And that was a stone or a crystal, really, that came to me when I was a kid. And it was when I was in Washington visiting my cousins at the time. And it was a amethyst crystal from the Mount St. Helens eruption that happened back in the 80s. And I feel like it was early 80s when it happened. And I feel like I happened to get my hands on this crystal late 80s. And I still have it, actually. It was just at the time beautiful. And I was a little kid and I just loved the, like, kind of like the jewel aspect of how the little points were on the amethyst. It's connected to the matrix on the, like, still have the earth, like, crust attached. And so that was my first encounter. And now, fast forward to me being an adult and working with crystals, I really love to use amethyst when I am in a, like, a change point or going through some kind of like catalytic event, especially something where I feel like it's overwhelming to my senses, because the amethyst is a great alchemizer and it can really help with that change energy, that especially when you're going through a change, it can really help you go through that change and to alchemize the stuff that's coming up to come out, at least for me. And also I love it for meditation. It's great to just put some on your third eye, I like to use either music and or deep breathing to then go even deeper and have a experience.
Yes, it's supposed to enhance the spiritual connection. So, and what color is it? It's the color purple. Amethyst is purple. So that's some people see the seventh chakra as purple and sometimes white. I always say white, but amethyst is supposed to be really good for the spiritual connection, which is what you've been using it for. So it's a beautiful, beautiful crystal, isn't it? It just, with all those points, and it just kind of shines when it's all clean and beautiful like that and not dusty.
Right, exactly. Dust somehow does seem to take the luster away from them.
It really does, yeah. Let's see. How about, let me see, what else do we have? A citrine. That's another one. It's kind of a pale yellow in color, right? Sometimes kind of almost a little orange. But again, I would always look at the color. That color is being probably between your second chakra and your third chakra, because your third chakra is yellow, your second chakra is orange, and those are second chakra has to do with sensuality, sexuality, emotion, and then third chakra is getting your goals and feeling energetic. And so citrine, to kind of promote abundance and positivity, so that you can feel like you're, moving forward and getting it done, and maybe even tuning in sensually to somebody with it using a citrine. So because it's because of the color. I always like to look at the color.
Well, and for those of you that have any issues with depression or like depressed kinds of feelings, citrine is another great one to help lift you out of that. As Carolyn was just saying, the color yellow, it has that in the color, but also in the vibration, which can be very, very helpful. Because sometimes, as empaths, our empathic sensitivities are looking to tune into something, even if we're like not even aware of it. Like it can be operating on a very subconscious level, especially for those of you that are like have it as a defense mechanism and maybe not even realize it. So my point to sharing that is sometimes in order to get it to change or shift, an external source can be a real helpful way to do that, and the stones and crystals can be that, especially when you want to set that tone yourself, like more readily versus just having it be set to whatever's happening in your life at this moment.
Yeah, and clear crystal, clear quartz, just the basic clear quartz. I mean, amplifies positive energy and clarity. You can use that one, just a 101 crystals, right? And so clear crystals are clear quartz crystals are quite beautiful to hold, and also good for to help you with your meditation.
Oh, or the police are coming. No, I'm just kidding.
They want to take part in the crystal
They do.
talk.
They're
They do.
like crystals work, and they do really, people. Go get yourself some.
Oh man, am I even pronouncing this other one? Is it selenite?
Selenite. Yep. Selenite. Yep.
It that one helps to clear blockages for a fresh start. So and it's white. Clear blockages. You want to clear blockages? That one is another one whose energies are thought to kind of help with our energies in our body to kind of move in the right vibration and direction. So that's another one that's kind of
It
an
is.
interesting one. Yeah.
I like that one. I like to use to, it can come in either a wand or like a plate, like a rectangular, flat sort of, it resembles like almost like a tray. It can get kind of thick. But when you get a piece like that, it's great to be able to set your other stones and crystals, or if you have stone and crystal jewelry, put that on there. It can help also purify your stones. You just set it there and let it be there overnight, is how I like to use it. But it doesn't, it's not only just a purifier for you and a remover of blocks for you personally, you can also use it for your jewelry and stones, other stones and crystals, which can be helpful if you don't have a full moon or a place to put your crystals outside in the full moon to clear them.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah. What about adventurine?
I like aventurine. Don't you
Yeah.
love the color of it? It's just something
Yeah.
about the green. It's a
The it
very.
can it can also be blue, orange, gray, and brown. Did you know
Oh.
that? Yeah, it's I had to look that one up. It was it can be lots of different colors, but yeah, the most common is the green. Yeah.
I bet. Well, that would be really cool to. I think I've only seen it polished. I don't know if I've ever had maybe a rough form of it one time. It would be kind of cool to see it like in a really larger rough piece to really see those colors.
Yeah, that's it's always neat to see. I especially love the amethyst and those really, really huge rock rough pieces. Oh God, doesn't it just shine so well? But anyway, back to aventurine, and that promotes optimism, right? And mm-hmm. prosperity and emotional balance. So, and it's a form of quartz.
And in the name, adventure, it's in the name too. If you need like a boost in your adventure-ness, if you're having a trouble doing things that are outside your comfort zone, for example, adventuring can be a great one to have in your pocket if you are wanting to more readily step outside your comfort zone.
Yeah. You know, and then there's malachite green, that would be heart, right? What else is malachite good for? I don't know. But I would use it for heart, for really connecting with on a heart level because of the color, because it's green.
So, is that the one that has the like white lines that can be in it that can kind of have geometry, or am I thinking, is that malachite?
Yeah, I think the malachite usually has the black in it.
Okay. I think I might be confused. Black with malachite.
Darker, you know, forest green.
Like so many stones, and they're all so like uniquely beautiful in their own right when you just, you know, pick up one. But it's amazing to me how the earth, through the forces of earth, create these colors and textures and different sort of rocks and crystals. It's just still amazing to me how the earth grows them. And I know, like, I've seen it in, like, labs. Have you ever seen that where you can see them growing a crystal?
No, but I've had them, you know, with, like, that really light blue one. Remember the really light blue that was made by man?
Yes.
Anyway, so, but after it was done, it was light blue. And so that would be what? It would be communication.
It's just, yeah, wild. The earth is amazing.
But we've used these things, you know, even back to ancient civilizations. So ancient civilizations used crystals in their, you know, ceremonies and everything. So it was, these date back for a long time, not just to 1972 when New Age started to really become popular. But when did it become popular? I guess it was more, it was probably, when did it start to become popular? Should know this.
Well, from what I know, it's had a few different moments of like peak, like where it's peaked, and then sort of these like valleys that connect, you know, all the different times together. But I feel like there's been a few different moments where the New Age has like kind of presented itself as this is the New Age, even though it wasn't new. It's just yeah, I don't know the dates though. I think back in the late 60s, early 70s was one of them, and then like the 87 for the harmonic convergence, I think, is another one.
Right. Yes. Oh my God. Yeah, the little there was a cute little one in San Anselmo called Crystal Ships. The thing was about the store was about the size of a, you know, a closet. A tiny closet, and but they were just packed with. And I remember the harmonic convergence being advertised outside their little paper ship store. It was so cute, and but you know that's where you go for. So even they even had books in such a tiny little spot, but crystals galore, and they did quite well. But harmonic convergence, yeah, I remember that being really popular.
So I want to say a quick shout out to everybody joining us in the chat. We have Renee joining us. She says, good morning, Carolyn and Jay, with some hearts. Good morning, yeah. Renee. And we have Raven joining us. She says, good morning, and so happy to hear live radio again. I suffered 1-2 radio withdrawals.
And oh, no.
We're grateful to be back, Raven, and we're excited you're going to be back with your show, too, on Wednesday and our joint show together on Thursday. So for those of you that are listening, we got so much good stuff coming back. And Quelly is joining us. She says, Grand Rising, Jay and Carolyn, welcome back. So good to listen to you both. Wishing healing prayers for your loved ones. We appreciate that so much, Quelly. Thank you for joining us and for sending the well wishes and love and prayers. And Pamela says, welcome back, Carolyn and Jay. So happy that you're back. Hope you had a a renewing and relaxing break. We tried, but it was
relaxing. I don't know whether we could really call it relaxing. Huh? It was like it was definitely a new. You know, when you get into a new rhythm, it sometimes. I mean, I did feel energized, but relaxing would not be what I would call it. So no, I'm going to go with not relaxing, but full power ahead, full speed ahead. I was
seriously same.
Yeah.
So Pamela says warning with the exclamation point and like that warning pyramid. It says crystals can be addictive.
Aww.
They sure can. It's hard to go into a crystal store and not walk out with a few.
they can really be relaxing. I mean, just think about if you have a little crystal collection and sometimes you go through it and you see that blue one or that really, I can't remember, there was a really pretty like turquoise blue with black one that I had. And just to pick it up and feel the its body, you know, would make you feel like, I'm going to keep this with me for the next 3 days, and then you put it down and forget about it. But it's really nice to just feel them sometimes, just to touch them, hold them, that alone can make you feel energized, even if it's only for the 3 seconds that I held that thing. It was really nice to have a reconnection with it.
I agree. It does. I feel it's almost like they work on a certain frequency band, and once you learn and get your own kind of comfort with tuning into that band, depending upon what stone you pick up, it gets easier and easier to feel them and to work with them, and you'll get to the point where they'll talk to you, and you can and really have like conversations with them, and also work out like learning how to program them and how to utilize them in that way. So there's a lot of different layers and levels. It can be as simple as you love how beautiful they are and what they look like and how they feel in your space, to putting them on your body, using them in meditation, using them in your healing work, having them with you when you're out and about in the world. I know I have created some different kinds of wire wraps where I could have like a crystal cool thing hanging from my rear view mirror in my car. I've also have like a, I've made like a door hanging thing where I have some crystals on my door handle. So there's fun ways to incorporate them in your world for them to be able to do their magic and for them to also be physically beautiful. You know, they are usually very physically beautiful, but sometimes we're so busy with the metaphysical interaction that we're not even paying attention to the beauty.
Yeah, and you can put them in the window. You can just or put them up on, you know, above your sink, you know, just so you can look at it when you go to the sink. But you know what, Jay? Remember one of the ways to clean your crystals was to bury it in the dirt.
Yes.
Okay. So, but the other way I would always do is, wash it under the faucet. So, but bury it in the dirt. I mean, how's that cleaning it? But it does. I guess the crystals are supposed to like that.
Well, it puts them back in the earth energy, and it's like they go back into their own little cocoon, and I feel it's their way that they can then, whatever happens with even when we ground, it does the same thing to them. It like reorients their system, their frequency system.
Yeah,
so they
well,
can be charged up again.
You have to remember where you bury them. I remember going. I was showing my art at a Lynn Andrews show years and years ago, and we were in Joshua Tree. And I took some of my favorite crystals and I buried them in the dirt, and then I couldn't find them again.
Oh shit!
It was disappointing. So, yeah.
The earth is like, I need those back. Thank you.
Yeah, flag there or something. Not a pretty picture for me. So, yeah, but these things happen. So. And in those days too, you'd always hear, you know, like you lost it, or if you've broken it, or if, you know, it's no longer useful for you. And I'm saying that was darn useful for me. It was very pretty. They were pretty little crystals, you know. And I should have washed them under the faucet instead.
Yeah. Well, and that works for most of them, but just for everybody, just so you know, there's a little caveat. Some of them are not water friendly, like selenite is not water friendly. It will start to dissolve it and or tarnish the color, will start to yellow it. So just check. Google is such a great reference if you don't have a crystal book to be able to check with what can.
Do that really? It really starts to wash the color away and
It not not the like you know amethyst is amethyst, but like on selenite, it will start to break it down. The water.
well, I guess it's kind of like when you think about Earth, the Earth kind of breaks down sometime, over years and years and years. So I guess that makes sense, but I've never heard that, Jay. That's interesting.
Well, I only think it's because some of them are are pervious, no, or no, impervious would be not water, pervious, or am I using the right word? Like where it can the this is usually rough stones too, where the water can get into the crystal somehow because it's per it, the
Permeates it permeates.
permeates. Thank you. It permeates the bit like it's not a sealed barrier like quartz where it's like a really hard exterior where you can't it doesn't penetrate. Not all
Ooh.
of them have that strong exterior.
They're a little bit more fragile.
And I want to just have this other caveat. It's just a few of them. Most of them, you can put them underwater, like Carolyn is saying, no problem. And the water is, it is like a, it's almost like I feel like they get like a zing, just like when we jump into water and jump out. I feel like the stones have that same kind of like, woo, we're just got into the water. It's exciting.
Yeah, but you're right. They probably wouldn't appreciate water like they would the earth. So, burying it with a red flag on top of it would probably be best. But then you have the dirt, then it's like, okay, now they're dirty.
I know, then you still have to wash them off, like you said, to make them beautiful again.
Yeah, I guess you could just kind of take a washcloth though and kind of rub them off. Yeah, it reminds me, I just on the aeroplane coming back, they gave me right before they served, they gave me a hot washcloth. It's always nice. So it's like, okay, you got to like do a little cleanup there with a hot washcloth. I thought that was interesting. So I've never been offered a hot washcloth on the plane before.
Ooh, were you in first class?
Oh, well,
Well, you
yes,
got.
I was, but I never been offered a hot washcloth before. So it was just interesting. It's like, oh yes, let me get my face also and my ears and my
Right,
neck.
you're like, let me make sure I'm nice and cleaned. So, this is a great warning from Raven, which I can attest to this one. It says, "Be careful with crystals in the sunlight. They can per they can potentially start a house fire, especially spheres." And I do have a amethyst sphere that I have taken outside to do some pictures with, and the sunlight happened to catch it, and it was like Raven said, it's like a magnifying glass. It like focuses the light towards one point. And it did start to burn the stand it was on. Like it started to put like a
Skip.
mark into the stand. It was like a wooden stand. So if I would have left that going, it could have potentially started a fire, which you would not expect. So yes, you do got to be careful when the light hits the spheres or certain crystals.
When
It
you're
can.
displaying, keep them out of the sunlight when you're displaying in your house.
Yeah, because well, and the other part of it too, I noticed because I had a fountain once outside, and we put some crystals in the fountain. Is the sun will also slowly wash out the color if you like put something outside, and you really do have it out in the sun. It's a rock, so it can handle it, but it will also take a toll, and you'll notice the coloring start to break down sometimes, over time, just because of oxidation and because the sunlight inevitably washes it out just because that's.
I wonder. So, take an amethyst for instance. You sometimes they come in that really deep purple, and sometimes they come in a washed out purple. Is that because they've seen light? I wonder.
I don't that part I don't know like if that's the difference, but it is similar like what I've seen happen, like where it can be a really darker kind of more rich color and then it will lighten up
So
to
there
like
must be
what.
nationalities of amethyst then. What do you think?
So, yeah,
Yeah.
that's wild. So just so much fun to crystals and being able to utilize them, and our intentions are also very powerful. when we work with them. So like to
You know, and that's one of the purposes too of these, Jay, is to really state your purpose, why you're using that particular tool, that particular energy, you know. And so yeah, your intention is really important. I agree with that.
It's like they're just, I mean, it's interesting because I think sometimes when we're using a tool, we want it to be like our phone, where we just push a button and we can see it working, or, you know, we can see it doing something, where the crystals are much more subtle and we have to be a little bit more patient sometimes with how we sense them or feel them, especially when we're just getting started. And I feel like sometimes our enthusiasm can have us be impatient, and it's the kind of thing that it definitely, not that it's not powerful and not that one use won't do the trick, so to speak, but it's the kind of thing that definitely don't limit yourself to just using them that way. There's so much more to learn using them over time and using them often.
You know, the other thing you can do too is play little connection, like drawing a card. You can have in a little pouch, you can have different stones, each representing a particular chakra, and reach in for which chakra you should really tune in on. So say you have a turquoise in your little pouch, you know, that would be communication, right? So you would put different colors into your pouch and then reach in for your pick of the day.
I love that.
Yeah.
Have a little meditation / moment with yourself.
Yeah. And then you, of course, you hold it. You really tune in on the, why do I need to tune into my communication? And then you can look at all the ways that you can improve the communication, or maybe there's communication that needs to be said that is up for you. So, you know, that's another thing too, you know, using a stone for the communication. If say you have to have a really weird connection with somebody because you have to clear the communication, you can go and you can get a blue stone, you know, to hold as you go through it, especially if you're not around them, so that they don't look at you like you're a new ager.
God forbid. No.
these things can be kept more quiet.
It's a good point. And I like that, because sometimes I feel we want to be excited, we want to share. And sometimes, though, it's nice to just have our own thing, and we don't need to tell everyone what we're up to. And not that it's a secret, like, in a bad way, but that you're keeping it tight, close to the vest, because sometimes when other people put their thoughts or feelings, and especially if they're going to laugh at us or try to belittle us because they don't understand, it can kind of wear away our own confidence. It can slowly start to tarnish our own kind of fortitude.
There was this one workshop that I took using a crystal that's about six inches wide, you know, one of those with a point and the rounded bottom, and we were learning how to move your kundalini, and you would start at on the upper shoulder, and you would move that using the bottom of the crystal into the center of your chest, and then down and lock it in into your sexuality center, power center. She was saying, do not try this at home. And so of course I had a friend visiting, and she was from Denver. She had flown in from Denver. I was in California. And I said, oh, that's, you know, because I could really feel it when this was done, and I wanted her to feel it too. So I got my crystal and I moved her kundalini over to and then down and locked it into her power center, and she passed out backwards and saw an androgynous being. So you really do have to, you know, and she came and she just woke up and just started crying, you know, and that went on for about, you know, 15 minutes. So it's like, okay, you know, you do have to be careful what you do with these things. If you're told not to do this at home, maybe you should look at that. But I'll never forget it, because it really did, you know, was something that she really had to, you know, I was in shock, and I didn't really handle it, you know, but she was pretty stoked on what she'd seen.
Yeah, you don't expect that sort of thing all the time,
Right.
or at all necessarily, unless that's something that like you're working on specifically, or you've had a specific kind of interaction. So yeah, that's not the typical occurrence, but at the same time, yeah, it can definitely up your communication, your multidimensional communication for sure, and
Yeah.
in ways that you like, in her case, are startling and shocking, and unexpected. But in a way, sometimes it's like the best way when you don't know it's going to happen, because then it just happens, and then you get to just sit with what the heck just happened, and unpack it. Usually there's something, there's some kind of wisdom that comes from the unpacking and the integration.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, God, I mean, just the unpacking of a day, you know, and meeting people you can learn things from too. But yeah, you do have to sometimes, you know, honor them a little more, these stones, because they can be powerful, packed with power. And so you have to really, you know what you're doing a little bit more, feel, you know, really do some grounded things with them and not something like I did. So probably
Yes.
shouldn't until you're really used to what's really happening and the tradition of all of it. So, yeah, it happens.
Can you believe we're like, we just talked through an hour and we had our first show back, basically. I can't believe it. It went by so fast.
I know. So, God, I really appreciate that you guys all came in to see us. And, or I guess you didn't, you can't really see us, but you can see us on an energetic level. But yeah, so thanks for coming and being with us. And Jay, when are you gonna be found on One to Listen?
I'm going to be on One to Listen in the afternoons and evenings. You can catch me there. And please don't hesitate to hit the schedule an appointment button if you don't see any of us that you're looking for signed on. It lets us know, and we can set up a time that way that works for you and us. And it also just lets us know that you're looking for us, and we always will do what we can to accommodate. When are you going to be on?
And I'm going to be on Once You Listen from around 6 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon, and again, yeah, either Jay or I can be found too with by scheduling a call. And yeah, sometimes we can't get you right away, but we will get you. So it's, you know, if we're offline, and Jay, you're also got some shows coming up too on Wednesday and Thursday, you say?
I do, and I'm excited. My show name is changing from the Jay Barvel Show to the Psychic Playground,
Okay.
and that's going to be same time Friday or Fridays, Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific, and then I have my interview show with Raven, and that is going to be Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific, and we have Mark coming on as our guest this week, so you'll want to definitely come and listen. It's always a great show when he joins us.
Yeah, and he's up next on his Mark Husson show. So, yeah, this is going to be His him coming back from a vacation should be he should be really stoked. He'll be extra upbeat. So it should be fun to listen to him.
Totally. He's gonna have
Yeah.
lots of great information for us, and I'd imagine he's got a whole long list of things to catch us up on since we've been gone.
Does. So all right, so anything else, Jay, before we go?
That's gonna do it for now. I just want to appreciate everybody that joined us this morning, just as you did. It's so great to be back. It's so great to be here with you too, Carolyn. And I hope you have a beautiful week, and I can't wait for us to be back again in a week.
Okay, well, we will see you then, or hear you then, or sense you then.
Bye for now, everybody.
Bye.
In the morning's gentle light, we bid you all good night. Ideas, stories, hopes, and dreams took flight with Carolyn and Jay, conversation so bright. In this cosmic realm where our stories ignite, mornings embrace a new day's pearl. Their dialogues continue in this cosmic swirl. Thank you for joining with hearts full and swell in the mythical realm where our stories dwell.